with a bit of insight on two baptisms pictured in the Old Testament. Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson.
Jordan also speaks of the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they've already gone through the Red Sea, their water baptism experience. We're talking Old Testament here now, and now they're going through the Jordan. So what is this baptism? What is this going through talking about? It's talking about the fullness of God, the power of God to come upon your life, to change you as an individual so you can go into the land and experience the abundant life.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
The Old Testament has been referred to as God's picture book, and that every significant New Testament teaching is pictured in the Old Testament. We'll explore some of those pictures today here on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. And they are striking. As we continue in the book of Joshua, we start things off with more on preparation for ministry. If you'll recall, we heard about this last time. From Joshua chapter 1 and today's program, once again, here's Pastor Jeff.
Really saying, Lord, prepare me for work tomorrow. I want to speak to somebody. Lord, apprehend me as your child. Help me to, at that job or wherever I'm at, to do your work and to take our responsibility. That's the greater works, isn't it? Lord wants to send us from this place humped, open, aware, you know, ready to go, you know. Jesus, set it up, you know. You set it up, Lord, I'll enter in. So there's these 3 million, some say 2 million, but then with children and everything, maybe 3 million slaves is turned into this a nation that is now disciplined soldiers with rank and file. I mean, everything is set up. Unbelievable. So today, we are his body. He is the head. There's organization. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about body ministry, your part in the body ministry, your gift, how you can get involved, and how it all works. It's organized. It's an organism that's moving out. It's either a glorious thing or it's a sad thing. But the Lord says, no, not my body. My body's going to move out, and it's going to be glorious, and it's going to touch lives. But how do we do that unless we are learning by the Word? Now, notice verse 11, there's three key words here. You mark it. Prepare, you vishkuls, get ready, you got to prepare, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess it. 3 days. Now there's three key words here. Number one is prepare. Remember the scripture, I think it's Amos, prepare to meet your God. Whoa, that's pretty heavy. I mean, there's something I need to do to prepare to meet God. Yeah, one of these days you're gonna be in front of him, man. And hopefully, he's going to be saying to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Or maybe you'll be before the great white throne judgment, and then there's no hope. You didn't prepare. So there is something we need to do to prepare, and that's to receive Christ, isn't it? But prepare is an interesting word. Jesus said this, don't even think about leaving Jerusalem until you're prepared, or let me say it this way, endued with power. 3 day wait. Now, I waited 3 weeks. I had received Christ at this church here in Downey, and my life was changed. I went home. I started marking my Bible. I started going to Bible studies, prayer meetings. And then I finally got to this church where they were talking about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Another experience you can have with God, with Jesus. And I said, that's me. I want it. I need all I can get, man. I'm just one hurting guy here. just wanting the power of God, you know? I've never, you know, experienced something so awesome as knowing the Lord. I mean, this is incredible. And there's more? Yeah, you can get filled with the Spirit. Now, my wife, she was Baptist background. She struggled with this. She had kind of like a three-year waiting period because she struggled so much with it. What is it, speaking of tongues? And all of a sudden, this mighty rushing wind came into her life, shook it up, man. And it does. Furniture moves and things fly around and it gets crazy. Your life is turned upside down. Man, she was transformed. She was changed radically as anyone who gets filled with the Spirit of God. They waited, of course, in the upper room 10 days. And remember, it's not by power, Zechariah says. It's not by your might. So get your vestibules, you know. They had manna. And God was giving them manna, but the manna was going to go away, and they're going to begin to start eating of the fruit of the land. But he said, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In other words, I'm going to give you preparation. When you go into the land, I'm going to give you spiritual provision for your taking the enemy and taking the land and receiving the food that you need. I'm going to give it all to you. So they were to feed on the word, the manna, and then they were to receive the power. In Acts chapter 1, if you want to turn over there real quick, I want to go through a couple of scriptures. But he simply says this in verse 4. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. So go into Jerusalem, and it's like the American Express card. Don't leave home without it. But I never understood that because that card is no good anyhow. So anyhow, I don't know. That doesn't have anything to do with the promise. Wait for the promise of the Father. And for John, truly baptized with water, you're going to be what? Baptized with the Holy Ghost. What is its baptism? Verse 8, you're going to receive power, Jesus said. Dunamos, dynamic power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Then you can leave Jerusalem, and not until. So wait in Jerusalem for this power. And then be filled with the Holy Spirit is his command, Ephesians 5:18. Don't go the way of the world. Don't think that your happiness lies in a bottle, in a puff of a joint, or in just a snort of coke or crack or whatever. I mean, don't go that way. You're getting ripped off if you're going that way. There's something more powerful, more satisfying, more exhilarating, more putting more joy in your life. And that is being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So be filled, Ephesians 5:18, with the Spirit of God. To wait is always hard, isn't it? Don't you hate lines at the movie theater? I know the kids out here waiting to get their food, and they got just a few minutes, and they got to get their food. So we try to move them quick. They have a lot of windows open, you know. But waiting is a bummer, isn't it? Guess what? You don't have to wait any longer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's no more waiting, guys. It's up to you when you want to receive it and when you just want to humble yourself before the Lord. So prepare, okay? Number two, notice he goes on to say, and you shall pass over this Jordan. This Passover thing, I want to tie it up with the 3 days again because it really speaks of death and resurrection. Because if you think of Jonah, Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. It speaks of death, and it speaks of resurrection. So you're going to pass over there. There's going to be a resurrected life. Something tremendous is going to happen. Death to self, alive unto God. I love this. Jordan is where John the Baptist, if you remember, baptized Jesus. It was a special, special time. Jordan also speaks of the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they've already gone through the Red Sea, their water baptism experience. We're talking Old Testament here now, and now they're going through the Jordan. So what is this baptism? What is this going through talking about? It's talking about the fullness of God, the power of God to come upon your life, to change you as an individual so you can go into the land and experience the abundant life. There's nothing hard about this. It's just truth. And it's up to us to choose what we're going to do with this truth. That's Passover. But then notice he goes on to say, and this Jordan, and to go in to possess. So prepare, pass over, possess the land. which the Lord your God will give it to you to possess it. So that word possess the land, we haven't been given mealy-mouth weapons. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. Weapons of warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshy, they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. I mean, we're talking about weapons that are going to be used against our enemy. That when we begin to move in the spiritual realm, these weapons come out and they're used. So it's a faith walk. As we step in faith, we begin to possess our possessions. God told them that you will go into this land and you will enjoy houses you did not build, fields you did not plant, vineyards, man, that are already planted for you. Everything is going to be set up for you. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He promised them. He told them what they're going into. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. God's going to take care of you. He's going to fight your enemies for you. You just need to understand your place and where you need to be in this beautiful plan of God. And you need to be obedient, most of all, especially to His Word. That's why we went over Deuteronomy again, to be reminded of what we need to be doing. The warning there in Deuteronomy 8 is, but when you get all this stuff, the Lord says, I'm just going to warn you that you would not forget me. Because if you turn away from me after you got all this stuff, and you don't give me praise for it and thank me for it, then you're going to be wiped out. You're going to perish. And I think, wow, what a warning. I mean, God wants to bless us. And we want to be blessed. But once He does and we're blessed, then don't forget Him. Get tighter with Him. Get closer with Him. Don't go astray. Don't think, oh, I've got money in the bank. I got a nice job. I don't have to go to fellowship tonight. We don't have to do that. We don't have to get in there. We can move. We don't have to think about what church. Oh, there'll be a Calvary out. There's Calvaries everywhere. We'll just find one. And then you find it and you go there and you go, I don't like the guy. I don't like what he's talking about. So I'm not going next Sunday. So Wednesday, we'll go check the Baptist church out. I hate that, you know. We'll go to the Pentecostal. I hate that. Well, let's just don't go to church anymore. We got a nice house. Got a view. So you're going to perish with a view. Man, we just don't think. We're not thinking right. It's because the world is doing the thinking for us. And because we're beginning to get into that apathy and that lethargic kind of walk with God. And we think, you know, oh, everything's okay. And settle in, potlucks. And, you know, and all of a sudden, here, we're not hungering and thirsting for the things of God anymore. We're not growing. Danger, danger. Isn't that guy on the alligator thing? Danger, danger, danger. I like the way he does it. So go in. Claim the land. God's fullness for your life. That's what he's talking about, okay? That's Joshua. You see, it's one thing to receive Christ into your life as, you know, a guest. You know, just letting him come in. It's like taking a drink of water. And you drink the water and the water goes in. And Christ is there and the Holy Spirit's there. But it's quite another thing to be put into him. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the upon experience. You see, the first experience is you receive him as Lord and Savior of your life, but the next one is you take a little step more and you take that plunge with your whole body. And baptism always means immersion. You are immersed in the Spirit of God. Spirit was a guest, now you're just immersed in the Spirit of God. I love that. You got power now to be led of the Spirit. You're listening spiritually. You're walking in the Spirit. You're praying about everything. You're moving cautiously because you know there's traps set. In Vietnam, they, you know, send somebody ahead and just watch for the wire, the trip wire, man. Oh, there's one, you know, and you, that guy's got to be highly trained, right? Everybody's looking to that guy to really show you the stuff. And so we have to walk through this world. There's traps set. So being filled with the Holy Spirit is an interesting word in Ephesians 5:18. It means continually being filled with the Holy Spirit as they would get up and get the manna every day. So we need new words from God every day. We need a new filling of the Holy Spirit every single morning. So when you get up, as you put your clothes on, you're saying, I'm putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to make provision for this flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I'm going to put on Jesus in the morning. And he's going to take me through the day. And at the end of the day, I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. What a day. What a day of victory. I saw my boss just freak out when I shared the gospel with him. Man. He just got all nervous. But I backed off because I knew he was freaking out. And then I gave him the seeker. And he started reading it. And I don't know what's going to happen, man. But it's exciting, man. And then this happened, and a hand had attracted this guy. Awesome. So be filled daily. I love this scripture in Romans. Just write it down. In Romans chapter 8, verse 4, the righteousness of the law, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Where are you going? But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally, fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There it is, man, I want it. I want life. I want peace. I got to be spiritually minded if I'm going to get life and peace. And I know that in Hebrews 4:9 it says, therefore there remaineth a rest for the people of God. That rest is for me. I want the rest. And so I need to be moving out in faith and moving in faith. I love this scripture again over in Romans in chapter 4, where he talks about in verse 19, and being not, he talks about Abraham, our father of faith, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He looked at her and said, whoa, you're way over the hill. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And he just didn't look at Sarah anymore. He just said, you know what, Sarah? You're going to have a baby. And believe God for it. And he moved out in that faith. So we're not to look at the circumstances. And so many times the enemy tries to get us to look at the situation. We're to believe that my God is able. My God snuffed out Pharaoh and his legions. My God's able. He separated the Red Sea. My God raised his son from the dead. My Jesus died for me, paid the price. The Holy Spirit is here to give me comfort, to give me power. Verse 12 now, look at this. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to half of the tribe of Manasseh spoke Joshua, saying, and he's talking to an interesting group here, remember the word, that's the key word here, guys. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Remember what he said? Rest, the land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave on this side of Jordan. You see, they wanted the east side. They didn't want to go into the land. They saw another land that looked good to them. It was a grassy land. The east side of Jordan, enough land for all of their cattle, because these guys were into raising cattle. They were some western guys that had these weird looking hats. And they rode around and they kept their cattle together. You know, the first cowboys. And they still have cowboys in Israel. And I think it's about maybe up in Montana they got a few left, huh? But they're going away. You shall pass before your brethren, armed all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Around chapter 4, verse 13, it said there were around 40,000. Another place it says there was 110,000. They probably took the strongest, the best men, the warriors, when they went into the land. Until the Lord has given your brethren rest. Notice who's going to get the rest. Not them. But your brother's going to get the rest. Now, when you're going to go in there, that place, you're going to fight for your brethren, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God gives them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession, you know, the thing you want, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan. Because they wanted it. You know, the most scariest thing is, if God gives us what we want, and all of a sudden we settle for second best. East side of Jordan toward the sun rising. Again, the key word is remember. Hindsight is a good teacher. And yet, I think Joshua was saying, you guys still want that land on the east side? You, have you thought about this? Have you prayed about it? And they're going, yeah, you know, that's cool, man. I mean, our eyes are looking at the green. I mean, we're talking cattle land. We're talking that's where we want to go. Well, guys, we're all going over Jordan. We're going into the land. We'll help you. Don't worry about it. We'll send our strong guys. We'll go in there and we'll do a number on these enemies, and then we're going to come back to our land because that's the stuff we want. Okay. 2.5 tribes settling for second best. Why second best? Because the best is the land. It's God's promise. But they compromise. It's easier to stay on the east side. I mean, outside of the promised land? Well, yeah, because, you know, there's no enemies over here. The enemies are in the land. Over here is green pastures. And if there's any enemies, it's, you know, lizards or something, you know, I don't know. There's no enemies over there. The real danger here is when we decide to follow afar off. And we make the decision. At one time, you were at every prayer meeting. At one time, you were early to church. At one time, you were excited about the things of God. Let me ask you, what happened? Who moved? Did God let you down somewhere? To where you have this attitude? To where you just kind of, you know, you can live with it or live without it. You know, it's not a big deal anymore. You're not so excited anymore. So you're following afar off. You're not as involved as you used to be. You're just kind of have fire insurance, and you're just kind of tooling through and hoping everything works out your way. Or you're becoming what the Bible talks about, lukewarm. And Jesus said, but I don't like lukewarm. I want you to be hot, or I want you to be cold, like a good cold iced tea. But when you give me lukewarm milk, you know, I spit it out. And Jesus says, I don't like lukewarm. You got to choose. Matthew 25 talks about 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins. The 5 that had no oil, their lamps were not trimmed. They asked if they could get oil from their friends that had oil and everything. No, you can't depend on them. You cannot go to heaven on, you know, your parents' coattail, so to speak. You can't do it on anybody. You can't, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know. Well, my boyfriend's so strong in the Lord, I'm just going to heaven because of he's walking close to the Lord. What about you? I don't know. I'm dependent on him. No, you can't do that. Their lamps weren't trimmed. And the bridegroom came, and they weren't ready, and they didn't go into the marriage supper. Can you imagine what went through their minds as the door was shut, and they could not go in? What a day of reckoning. What a day of awakening. They didn't seek for God's perfect will. They settled for what they wanted. There's a danger in settling for what you want. The question should be, what does God want out of my life? What does he want me to do? Now that he saved me, now that he gave his son to die for me and bleed on that tree and take the beating for me, what does he want me to do? That's the least I can do is, Lord, I'm here to serve you. You saved me. You changed my life.
Well, some much-needed encouragement from Pastor Jeff Johnson, not to settle for anything less than what God has for you. This is Sound Doctrine. Today's message from Joshua chapter 1 goes by the title of His Command, Our Choice. Well, you've got a few options if you would like to hear this study again. The easiest is to go to sounddoctrineradio.org or download our free app and listen on your mobile device. Search for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store, or get it on Google Play. You can also call and request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5 at 800-353-7553. Again, 800-353-7553. Don't you just love giving gifts at Christmas time? You know, God does too, and at Christmas, we collectively celebrate God's unspeakable gift, a baby in a manger who would one day die for the sins of mankind. And today, we would like to offer you a wonderful CD. It's called A Christmas Love. It features Pastor Chuck Smith reading the Christmas story aloud, and it's the perfect reminder of all that the Lord has done for us. Ask for A Christmas Love when you call 800-353-7553, or order it online at sounddoctrineradio.org. And we would very much appreciate your support as we wrap up another year of delivering sound doctrine on the radio and the internet. With your help, we're able to tell people all over the world about God's wonderful gift of Jesus. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or by calling 800-353-7553. And if you find these daily studies helpful, we'd love to hear about it. We want to be wise investors of God's resources as we get ready for another year. Pastor Jeff would be so encouraged to hear from you as well. Email us today and let us know the station you listen to. Our email is sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And join us each day as together we open and study the Bible, seeking sound doctrine to apply to our lives today. Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff is presented by Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,